Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hippie Witch, magic for a new age. I'm your host, Joanna DeVoe, and this is a happy, hippie place where magic with a K meets the law of attraction.
Was annoying. I don't know if you were listening a couple weeks ago when I got cut off right as I signed in to do the show, but I think that just happened again. So sorry for the long pause of silence, and thanks for joining me for episode 29 of Hippie Witch Magic for a New Age. My name is Joanna DeVoe, and I am the kooky creatrix behind Kick-Ass Witch, Putting the K in Magic, and of course, Hippie Witch, the show you are listening to right now. I also, as I keep saying, have a free ebook by that name, Hippie Witch, Peace, Love, and All That Good Shit, and you can pick up a copy of that at www.joannadevoe.com. And I'm just going to jump right in to today's show. Bringing the saboteur into the light is a continuation of the topic that I brought up last week about how the symbolism of archetypes can come into play when you are doing shadow work. And just to reiterate what an archetype is a pattern in the human psyche, in the psyche of the individual, and even the collective psyche of an entire culture that dramatically influences our thoughts and our emotions and ultimately our actions. They are patterns, these archetypes. They're patterns that we act out in our own lives because of some powerful conditioning that takes place when we are still small children. Some people believe that we are born with these patterns and that they are a part of our ancestral memory, so to speak, or our karma, or our soul contract. Whatever you believe, they're there, nonetheless, symbolically or otherwise. And the best way that I know of to get a handle on what an archetype is to examine a popular movie like The Wizard of Oz or Star Wars to see how the Cowardly Lion, for example, or Darth Vader, how these characters that we like to see acted out in the safety of a dark theater. Sorry, I'm kicking a cat off my foot. Move, Odie. You gotta go. Oh, my cat's name is Otis, and he's my soulmate cat. I don't know if I believe in soulmates, but if soulmates exist, my cat Odie is my soulmate. His name is Otis, after Otis Redding, and he's adorable and black, and he sheds a lot, and he's making me hot sitting on my feet. Anyway, the Cowardly Lion, Darth Vader, these characters, we like to see them acted out in the safety of a dark theater, which is ironic when you think about shadow work, but they're actually aspects of ourselves, and thank God for art, really, because that is how we often come to understand ourselves. At least I think that's what the best art does, music and movies. It reflects ourselves back at ourselves so we can better understand what is up. Miley Cyrus. Oh, I'm not even going to touch that because I don't consider that art personally. But I had a little Facebook discussion this week with someone who referred to it as art, and that actually made me really think about what is that, if that is art, which I don't think it is, but if it is, what is it reflecting back at us at a culture, and can I live with that? It's kind of disturbing when I think about it. And know thyself is such a powerful statement. Know thyself. It's so powerful that it has hung around in our vernacular for thousands of years. Know thyself. And it seems simple enough on the surface to know yourself, right? So why is it so hard? Why do we create all this art to reflect us back at ourselves? Why do we do all this shadow work? Why do we do all these crazy things and then not know why we do them? And let me just say right now, all this stuff, the shadow work, the law of attraction, archetypes, etc., none of it really means anything. Not really, not unless you want them to. They're just tools that you can use when you need them. And you don't have to read into it any more than that to get anything out of it. For instance, the book Sacred Contracts by Carolyn Mace, which a lot of what I'm talking about this month is based on the book Sacred Contracts. If you want to go get a copy of that, I am very much simplifying that here in October on the radio show, and I'm really just extracting one part of that book. It is a very complex book that you could spend many years, like, exploring, I think. But that book is operating under the premise that we each have a soul contract that we were born into, and our contracts interact with other contracts. So people who are hurting you may actually be helping you to grow or evolve or wise up or whatever, because they are fulfilling this contract that y'all supposedly made back in the day before you were even born. It's a lot like karma in a way. We are interacting with other people in our lives for a reason. We are under contract to each other, supposedly. Now, do I personally believe that? I don't know. I don't even know if I believe in karma, and I know most of you do, but I understand both concepts, the soul contract and karma, and I think that they are nice, useful even, but I guess in the end I consider them spiritual theories and not fact. But having said that, does that mean that they are useless to me, that they have no meaning in my life? Absolutely not, surprisingly. And Joseph Campbell has a nifty quote that I think demonstrates very well what I'm trying to say here, and you may have heard it. It goes like this: life has no meaning. Each of us has meaning, and we bring it to life. It is a waste to be asking the question when you are the answer. So to summarize, life and these spiritual tools that we're talking about here on Hippie Witch Radio, they have no meaning. Life has no meaning. These tools have no meaning except the meaning you give them. You have all of the answers within you already. But it can be hard sometimes to silence your mind long enough to call them forth. It can be difficult to discern between your soul's truth and the ever clever voice of fear, which can easily disguise itself as wisdom that is looking out for you. And that's why things like shadow work and playing around with archetypes, they can be helpful. They can help you move beyond your ego and all that busy mind chatter, the monkey mind as it's called, to get to the truth, to what's really going down deep down inside of you and to why it is you keep fucking things up for yourself, which is really what the saboteur does, right? So for the sake of this conversation, let's just suspend disbelief for 30 minutes to agree that we all have an inner saboteur within. We've all felt the sting of self-sabotage at some point in our lives, and unless you dig into the shadows of that, unless you get to the bottom of what your saboteur is really trying to do and why, you will be at risk of it acting out again. And let me just say here now that if this is the first time you are hearing about shadow work or the first episode you are listening to in this series on archetypes and how they can play into shadow work, you might want to go back to last week's show to get a better framework for what we're talking about here. I also included in the resource list for both that show and this one back on the Blog Talk Radio Show page, if you're not on that page, find it. I've included on both a list of 3 videos and blog posts that I did last year explaining what shadow work is, and soon I will have a program out called the Psycho-Spiritual Wheel of the Year for those of you who want to dive deeper into shadow work. These shows, these Hippie Witch Radio shows, they're just a supplement to that because I wanted to offer something free for everyone to enjoy and to be able to utilize and put into practice. And I want to genuinely be of service with Kick-Ass Witch, and I also want to make a living at the same time. So I'm trying to balance out the paid programs with lots of free stuff. And I've actually been out of balance with that since I started Kick-Ass Witch back in March of 2012. And I am now, you know, I turned 40. Got to make it mean something. I'm working on getting that all into balance. So I am glad so many of you have caught on to listening to this radio show, because this is really going to be the primary hub for the free content. This is where I'm going to be providing most of my free content. And then I'm going to start charging more often for the writing and the video programs that I do. Because if I can't eat and keep a roof over my head, I won't be able to do any of this anymore. And believe me, I want to do this. So that's where I'm at with that. Me and my tangents. And really, that's actually a good example of the archetype we will be talking about the last Tuesday in October. So the last Tuesday of this month, I'm going to be talking about the prostitute. And believe it or not, we all have a prostitute at play in the shadows of our lives. And it's often hanging out and in cahoots with the saboteur, which is what we are talking about today. In fact, all of the four archetypes, the prostitute, the saboteur, the child, the victim, all the archetypes that I'm going to be talking about this month, they all play together in the shadows. And believe me, they aren't playing nice. They're kind of like a gang or a shadow mafia that is wreaking havoc on your best laid plans. And I thought today that I was going to start with the child, because I felt that the inner child was the easiest to relate to and to face first. It seems less scary than some of the other archetypes, but for whatever reason, the saboteur jumped to the front of the line and wanted to go first. And when I thought more about why that may be, I realized it's because the saboteur, when flipped around and viewed as an asset rather than a liability, is really the guardian of choice, which is, in the end, what doing all of this work with archetypes is all about. All of the different archetypes, it's all about choice. It's about empowering yourself to make conscious choices. So instead of feeling like your shadow is running you and that you are doing things without even knowing why, you have, by doing shadow work and examining the archetypes at play in your life, developed a sense of awareness. And once you are aware, you are free to choose. And that's where your power lies. When you're free to choose, when you are able to choose consciously, you are able to shape your life with purpose and intent. And until then, you are just doing the shadow dance. Anthony Robbins says that your greatest power as a human being on this earth is your power to choose. You can choose what to focus on, you can choose what things mean, and you can choose what to do. And I would agree that that's true. Would you get off my feet? My cat is back. Oh, he's furry, and he's hot, and he's shedding on me. It's true. You can choose what to focus on, you can choose what things mean, and you can choose what to do. And I love me some Tony Robbins, I totally do, but I also think that it's more complicated than that. Just like with the law of attraction, one of the links, if you go into the resource list for this show, it's called The Dark Side of the Law of Attraction, because the law of attraction is so much about choosing your attitude, really, choosing what things mean, choosing what you're going to focus on, choosing your actions, because like attracts like. But, well, watch that video. Read that blog post if you haven't already, because many of us are making choices on a subconscious level that is beyond rational understanding. And that is a big part of shadow work, is learning how to make conscious decisions rather than subconscious decisions. And that is what I keep saying, blog post or video, because it's a video within a blog post. So you can check that out if you want to revisit that or visit it for the first time. It's a it's about, you know, you make those choices on a subconscious level, and they really are beyond your rational understanding. They're the things you do that have you beating up on yourself afterward and going, stupid, stupid, why did I do that? What possessed me to say that? And what did possess you? It's an interesting choice of words, possessed, because sometimes it really does feel like something possessed you in the moment, and I don't think that feeling is too far off from the truth. You may very well have been possessed by the saboteur. And believe me when I say that the saboteur, as much pain as it causes in your life, it's really just trying to help you out. It is a pattern that you put into place a long, long time ago in order to protect yourself. And it is, as Carolyn Mace puts it, the mirror that reflects your fears of taking responsibility for yourself and for what you create. So maybe we can just sit with that for a moment now. So maybe you can just think back to a time in your life when you sabotaged your own success. I'm sure you can think of at least one example. Maybe you showed up to an important job interview 30 minutes late. You senselessly blew a big business deal or failed to study for an important final or cheated on the love of your life just when everything was going so well. And that's the key phrase there, just when everything was going so well. Everything was going well. You had this one in the bag. You were succeeding. You were just on the cusp of making it. And then wah, wah, wah. Epic fail. Why? Why? Why did you do that? And if you think I'm talking funny today, it's because this is something that is deeply personal to me. I have done this so many times to myself, and it's so annoying. God, nothing will annoy me about myself more than this, the saboteur acting out. And I'm a person with a lot of hopes and dreams, big, big dreams. And I have gotten very close to many of them only to, like, cut myself off, like, right as it's about to happen. And I'm always aware that I'm doing it. I'm not a person that blames other people for these kinds of things in my life. I always know, like, huh, I did that. That was stupid. Duh, why? So this work is really helpful to me. But assuming Carolyn Mace is right, what was it that you were afraid of having to take responsibility for? What was it that you were creating before you let it all go to shit? So maybe you can think about that, like pull out a memory that you have in which you feel you sabotaged yourself from succeeding and ask yourself if you would have succeeded at whatever that is, that relationship, that new job, getting that degree, whatever, having the body of your dreams, you know, maybe you were working out really hard and loving life and loving the way your clothes are fitting and loving the way you looked in the mirror, and then right as you're about to achieve your goal weight or whatever goal you had, you decided to stuff your face with cake and then you couldn't stop, and 3 months went by and you realized you completely fell off the wagon and now you were right back where you started from. Why did you do that? What did you think succeeding would make you responsible for? What responsibility did you think you were going to have in your life once you achieved what it was you were going for? What change was going to take place in your life? What change were you trying to create? If you can answer that honestly, you will be well on your way to understanding your own personal version of the saboteur. Another brilliant idea that Carolyn Mace has contributed to the subject of the saboteur is that if you can learn to harness its voice as an asset rather than a liability, you might be able to reframe it as the guardian of choice. Because once you feel the itch of the saboteur, once you feel that it's about to strike again and you have an awareness of how all this stuff works, you can take out your trusty psycho-spiritual flashlight and shed some light on that shadow of fear before it has the chance to choose for you and screw everything up again. You can stop and ask yourself, wait a minute, what is it that I'm afraid of here? What am I really afraid of? What is it that I don't want to take responsibility for? And then you can make a choice. a conscious choice that is more in alignment with the life you intend to create, the kick-ass life of your dreams, as I like to say. Like, that's the whole theme of Kick-Ass Witch, putting the K in magic, is creating the kick-ass life of your dreams. And that, my friends, requires change. And nothing scares your saboteur more than change. Your saboteur feels a desperate need for certainty. It has to be in control at all times. It's very controlling, and it is determined to keep you tucked away in your comfort zone. But you know, as the cliche goes, life begins at the end of your comfort zone. So he or she, however you think of your saboteur, they're just going to have to get over it, because you are in the driver's seat now, and you are not going to let fear dictate your future, right? Right? I hope I'm right. I want this for you. I want this for me. I want this for all of us. I really do. Because wouldn't it be so cool if we could all get on top of this stuff together and really put some good out into the world? All our best gifts, the real deal, and our very best selves. There would be no end to what we could accomplish. And I really believe that. And going back to that comfort zone that the saboteur is so desperately attached to, with a little bit of imagination, maybe you can revisit, I don't know if you listened to the Aggro Man episode that I did where I talked about naming, you know, your ego or your alter ego, naming that part of yourself that acts out. Give your saboteur a name. Name it. And then you can actually separate it from yourself and take some of the shame out of the equation. And shame, that's a whole other episode. I'll have to do an episode on shame one of these days, but that'll have to wait till at least November, because I'm all busy and up in the archetype and shadow work thing right now. But shame is heavily, heavily involved. And we all have shame. If you're human, I'm sure you have some hiding around somewhere. Some of us have it more than others. But with a little bit of imagination, maybe you can give your saboteur a name. You might even come to find that you can have compassion for this frightened part of yourself, because really it is only trying to help you. It thinks it is doing the right thing. It thinks the comfort zone is the safety zone, but it is wrong. And you can silence its fearful warnings by making your own choices and showing it that there's nothing to be afraid of. So every act of courage, every brave decision that you make is another step toward silencing the voice of your inner saboteur and teaching it who's boss and teaching it that there's nothing to be afraid of. If once you can calm those fears that you have deep within, it's not going to act out anymore, because it will know there's nothing to be afraid of, at least in that realm, in the realm that you're making those conscious choices in. And then you can embrace a new version of that voice that used to be called the saboteur, and you can give it a new title. You can call it the guardian of choice, which actually, I see I have a few minutes here. That kind of reminds me of the never-ending story. And I've told this here before, but the never-ending story, it's a children's movie, but it's one of my favorite spiritual teachings. I love that movie, the original one that came out in the 80s, whenever. I didn't see it in the theater, but I saw it, whatever, probably on VHS, like a big old dinosaur tape. And I've seen it many times since, and it's just filled with spiritual lessons. It's super cool. And at the very end, gosh, I don't know how to explain that movie to you if you've never seen it. It would be a good rental. It would be fun, especially if you have kids. But at the end of that movie, Fantasia, this whole world, this, you know, fantastical, imaginative world of creatures and magic, it's gone. It's over. The nothing has taken it over. And all that is left is like a little speck in a grain of sand. And this kid, the hero in the movie, who is responsible, we find out in the end, for creating Fantasia, because it's all about imagination and creating the kick-ass life of your dreams. He's sitting there with the Empress, who's kind of this, I don't know, guardian, mystical, creatrix, witch creature in the movie. And he's upset that Fantasia is gone, that everything is black and dark, and all that remains is this one little piece of glowing sand. And she tells him to choose, just to start making choices. and that every choice he makes will bring Fantasia back. And so I think his first choice that he makes is for this really cool dragon creature to come back. And he starts making a bunch of choices, and Fantasia starts growing again. And that is the spiritual lesson, that the nothing that destroyed everything is that fear. Fear destroyed everything. But when you understand that you hold the power, you are powerful, and every choice that you make consciously creates your own Fantasia, the kick-ass life of your dreams, that's when life really starts cooking for you, and that's when you know you can move forward without being in danger of self-sabotage and of getting in your own way. You know you've got that psycho-spiritual flashlight on your hip, and that you can whip it out and shine it on your shadow anytime you choose. It's all about choice. You have the power to choose. So that is the saboteur as the guardian of choice. I hope you liked this episode. I liked doing it a lot. Join me next Tuesday when I will be talking about your inner child, the guardian of innocence. Aww. It sounds much less scary than the other ones. But it can also be a fucker. Don't be deceived by the child. We'll be talking about that next week. Much love to you all. Thank you so much for your emails and your Facebook messages and the super awesome ratings you've been giving me on iTunes, and just for all the love that I get back from you guys. It definitely feels win-win. I love doing this show for free. It doesn't feel free. It feels like an equal energy exchange. I get so much back to you. So love, 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 love to you, and peace. See you next Tuesday.